A gospel lesson for this evening, a story that is familiar to many. From the Gospel of St. Luke at the second chapter, we read these words. The birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the King. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among all with whom he is pleased." May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? Our Lord God, we ask that you stir us from our sense of complacency, that you set our hearts on fire to do your will in this world. May those things said this evening that are true be engraved upon every heart, and anything said that is false, may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name, we very humbly pray. Amen. The text for this evening comes from the 10th verse of the gospel lesson I just read. And an angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great tidings, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the King." On that night, so very, very long ago in Bethlehem, good news or gospel was dawning, not upon just the chosen or the select few, but upon the many, the whole world. That was the angel's message to the shepherds that night. This past Sunday, we reflected on the birth of John, who is called the Baptist. His birth signaled the end of an age, the birth of Mary and Joseph's child announced the beginning of a new age. As Jesus said, you cannot put new wine in old wineskins. And so something new was breaking into this world. The angel's message of good news originally meant a message of victory from a battlefront. And later it was used as a technical term in the Roman world to signify the birth of the emperor. But Luke, in his gospel, with the angel proclaiming the good news, set the stage for a conflict not only between the emperor and Jesus, but between two world orders, two realities vying for our hearts. In the birth of Jesus, a new reality, a new way of seeing things, a new way of seeing and understanding who God is and our relationship to the Almighty came upon us. If we have lived long enough, and if we have had enough life experiences, we know in our heart of hearts that there is more to reality than what can be seen with the human eye. We know in our heart of hearts that there is a greater reality that overshadows our small lives and our brief time on earth. There is an eternal hand somehow at work in the mix of life and of this world. A hand whose ways we cannot see until we look back over our past and discover from whence we have come. This new reality was revealed to the shepherds on that first Christmas Eve, who watched their flocks at night. But it is continually revealed to each and every one of us every day that we are alive. Over the last several weeks during the season of Advent, this congregation has been reflecting upon the gospel message of Jesus Christ as it is reflected in Charles Dickens' novelette, A Christmas Carol. In A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge is the grinchiest of all men, with the coldest of hearts that cannot be melted. But on one night, he saw the reality that the shepherds saw. And when he saw this new reality, he vowed to keep Christmas in his heart all year long. The eternal reality that the angel proclaimed, you see, the reality that the shepherds saw in the manger and that Scrooge vowed to keep, breaks into our lives at the most unexpected moments, when we least expect it. This new reality expunges the old and lets us begin anew. As the great apostle wrote in his letter to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation, for the old has gone and the new has arrived. We are reminded of this newness that the angel spoke of in the baptismal font that sits in the front of our sanctuary, as well as the communion table from which we take the Lord's Supper when we gather to worship. As the Old Testament book of Lamentations reminds us, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never end. They are new every morning. This new life could perhaps be best exemplified in a life of another man at another time, in another century. John David Rockefeller Sr. drove himself and all of those around him unmercilessly. He wanted to earn as much money as he could at as young of an age as he could. And by the age of 33, he had earned his first $1 million, which was a great sum of money in the late 19th and early 20th century. And by the time he was 53 years old, he was declared the richest man in the world. At the time, he was the world's only billionaire. But he was also, perhaps, the most hated of all men. He was so hated in his native state of Pennsylvania and in his city of Pittsburgh that he had to have bodyguards with him 24 hours a day. At the height of his financial and business success, he developed a condition called alopecia, a medical condition that causes one's hair to fall out. He not only lost his hair, but he lost his eyebrows and his eyelashes. And as a side effect, his digestive system went out of whack to the point that he could only eat and digest milk and crackers. He literally became a shrunken man, a skeleton of his former self. And a contemporary remarked upon seeing John David Rockefeller Sr. that looking at him was like looking at a mummy. His health continued to fail. His doctors did not know what they could do. and they told him that he needed to get his affairs in order, as he probably would not live to see another birthday. One sleepless night, Rockefeller realized the truth, a profound truth that is so hard for us to comprehend. We may know it at an intellectual level, but it escapes us at an emotional level. He realized that he really, truly couldn't take his things with him. He could not take one dime into this new reality that lay beyond the current. Like Scrooge and the rich man in Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus, he learned that there is more to life than things. He learned that he who has the most stuff at the end of life does not win. He learned that you can climb the ladder of success and suddenly discover that the ladder you have been climbing is leaning against the wrong wall. When this realization came to him, he got out of bed the next morning a new man, not in his physical appearance, but a new man spiritually. He began to share his wealth with churches across the country, across this nation. As a matter of fact, in the Hyde Park area of Chicago, there is a Rockefeller Chapel which puts almost any other church to shame. Its spires reach heavenward to draw the eyes to the heavens to remind us from whence our help comes. Our help cometh from the Lord. He designed or established a foundation that was designed and intended to fund medical research, and because of the grants that the Rockefeller Foundation gave, penicillin was discovered and lives were saved. And as he went on in life, he gave away more and more money, and he suddenly discovered that he was sleeping better and that he was eating better and that he was enjoying life more because he was living larger. There is an iconic picture that you may have seen of Rockefeller, a frail older man with a bowler hat and a dark suit, bending over at the waist to give a child in knickers a dime. One of the dimes Rockefeller knew that he could not take with him. The man whom the doctors believed would not live to see his 55th birthday died at the age of 98. One could say that there were two John David Rockefellers. And one could argue that the earlier John David Rockefeller, that first incarnation, made the second John David Rockefeller possible. That without the wealth, there could not be the generosity. But I do not believe that to be true. At least not if the gospel of Jesus Christ truly is good news. I believe that John David Rockefeller missed a lot of happiness in his life by climbing the wrong ladder. But like the prodigal son and the thief on the cross, who asked Jesus if he might enter into his kingdom, and like old Ebenezer Scrooge, who finally came to his senses after being visited by three specters or three ghosts, he became a new man. On Christmas Eve, may we take the words of the angel to heart. Be not afraid. Be not afraid of this life in which we live. Be not afraid of our circumstances or the conditions in which we find ourselves. Be not afraid on the mountaintop of success or in the darkest valley, even the very valley of the shadow of death. Be not afraid. For as Jesus said to his disciples at the end of Matthew's gospel, after giving them the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that he had commanded, Jesus made this very solemn promise that was true then and it is true today. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. No, do not be afraid. This Christmas Eve, may each one of us sleep peacefully. And may we awaken with a new understanding of what it means to be alive, of what it means to be a child of God, created in the divine image, of what it means to be claimed in our baptism and fed at Christ's table. May we, like the shepherds, seek the Christ child and find him. And may we be not afraid, for we too have heard the good news. For unto you in Bethlehem a Savior has been born. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore.